I feel like one of the curses of being young, and correct me if I'm wrong, but deep down, you probably know what the correct decisions in life are. You just don't have the wisdom to create the discipline around making them all the time.
And really, it's just listening to your soul just guiding you. We just come into this world and just we're clouded with layers of illusion.
I also find it interesting how the world around us, the material world around us, conditions us to lose touch with our internal voice, right? With that connection with our soul. Because the more you follow objective rules and less subjective feelings, the easier you are in to be manipulated, right? Because rules can be changed by external sources, but your internal feeling of what is right and wrong will never change. I always get such heavy questions. It's wild because, yes, I'm just doing a podcast, but these are people's lives, you know? And they're asking me like pretty personal questions. Like, I've already mentioned this before on the podcast, but I appreciate how much you are all willing to open up and how much you trust me. But yeah, I have about like 40. And each of them, but I'm not going to go through all of them today. I've already done part one. But each of them are equally intricate and valuable, right? So it's difficult to choose. I mean, the first one here, someone asks, how can I weed out all the mental distractions to stay focused and authentic? I mean, meditate? Yeah, meditate. Okay, dope. Yeah, good. I mean, it's simple, and but it is the answer that you'll come to eventually, no matter how you get there, no matter what mental gymnastics you get, no matter what other practices you do, it'll always come down to introspection and meditation. Because authenticity is something that can only be found when you separate yourself from the distractions of the world. Like, once you spend enough time understanding who you are and what you want, the external influences no longer have an effect on you. But it's important to continue to have moments where you are regrounded, right? Where you spend time alone, ideally in nature, without any electromagnetic frequencies disturbing your ability to think clearly. Because without those moments in your life, you'll become lost in the infinite distractions that exist as soon as you step outside.
We have to start learning how to be comfortable in silence. I think that's the key to being more in tune with our humanity. And I think that's what's missing in all of society because we're so attached to our devices and distracted by all the illusions, all the promises, the false idols. Rid yourself from all of that. And having a good community around you, try to immerse yourself in one if you're not involved in one. Just be involved in a community so it gives you a sense of purpose and that gives you a sense of self-satisfaction and your mind will be put at ease.
Yeah, it's crazy because each of these questions, in a way, requires a deep one-on-one conversation because there's nothing I can say objectively that'll apply perfectly to your subjective experience. The real task for you listening to this is to take the words that I say and apply them to your life in a way that resonates with you. This is why celebrity worship or even following to the T everything your favorite influencer says is only going to lead you down a path that is not meant for you. Because even if everything they say is objectively true and good, it's not you, they're not your words coming from your mouth, right? So again, bringing it back to meditation and spending time in solitude to understand and tap in to your own voice. And the second question kind of ties into the first. So I feel lost. I'm about to graduate from high school and I just feel lost. I don't know what to do next. He repeats, I feel lost twice. Yeah, I mean, you look around you at the world and the people within it, and I feel like everyone to some extent feels lost. I don't, in a way, it's like perfection. You can never truly be perfect, right? In the ideal sense, only God is perfect. That's why that word exists. But what makes us beautiful is our flaws and our inability to be perfect, but yet our ability to strive for that ideal, if that makes sense. So to feel lost is natural, right? It's part of being a human being. But I always say you find clarity through action. Rather than dwelling in your mind at the infinite options and the infinite paths that you could take, choose one that, again, resonates with your internal and just start walking down it. And you'll know if it's right for you. I've tried so many different things in my life. And the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing now is because I have tried many different things. I have tested out my creative outlets in many different fields to then land on this one, which resonated with me the most. Yeah, like I used to play the cello. That was something that I thought I was going to do for much longer than I did. But it didn't end up being that way. But if I never tried it, I would never honestly be doing what I'm doing now. Everything matters, everything is entangled.
if you're lost in life and you're just coming out of high school, I think you should go back to asking yourself, like, what you loved doing when you were 9 years old. What was the thing that you did? And if you didn't try enough things, and that's what I suggest you do, is you try all types of things that you could possibly think that you could like, and then find out which one you resonate the most with, and then stick to that, because that's going to give you a sense of purpose.
It ties a bit into the other question. How do you not care what other people think about you? Again, there's nothing I can say here that'll instantly having you not care about the opinions and the judgments of others. But there are certain steps that you can take towards being that person that does not care. And number one is having a strong sense of self, having a strong sense of purpose. Yeah, well, I'll talk about my own experience. Oh, I make sure to say that this is just me and my life experience. And I think that goes for everyone. Anyone who claims to have an objective answer for anything is incorrect. That's honestly a red flag in anyone that you listen to, because you already know that their mindset is capped and limited on that very basis. Because it's not so much the ideas that I'm sharing, but the ideas that you get from listening to me with an open mind. So, I mean, for me, I've gone from someone who cared so much about what other people thought to the point where I would limit the amount of things I would do in my life, even though I knew I wanted to do them. Because at the end of the day, it's a choice. You just have to decide. Because every time you are in a situation where you feel the judgment of others, or the perceived judgment of others that honestly doesn't exist in any place other than your mind, you have a choice to make. Do you let it hinder your abilities? Or do you acknowledge it as the illusion of your mind that it is and continue on with what you know you're capable of? I know for me, this directly affected my ability to play football. When I would step onto the field, not only was I worried about the judgment of my teammates, but I was worried about the judgment of my coach, the people watching. I had built up pressure in my mind due to the fact that I had such high goals that I attached my self-worth to. And it was only until I was able to realize, after many years of suffering, after many years of not playing to the best of my abilities, that it was always a decision I made every time I stepped onto the field. And this is where introspection and meditation become so important, because without those moments, without that time alone, you'll never be able to see and begin addressing the subconscious habits that you've developed over the years that are holding you back from your fullest potential. So as much as you can listen to this podcast and you can be aware of the things that are holding you back, it takes a lot of deep internal work, a lot of journaling, a lot of honesty with yourself to understand the right path in navigating these issues that you're facing. And honestly, it's a lifelong journey, because there are still moments in my life, even though I feel like I've got a pretty good grasp over how my mind works and I'm self-aware enough to realize when I'm falling in to limiting myself because of the perceived judgments of others, to where I can reverse it and sort of shatter the illusion that I've created. And ultimately, you're only afraid of being judged because you don't want to look bad in the eyes of other people. But you look worse if you inhibit yourself and project an aura of insecurity. At the end of the day, human beings are animals, and we can sense what's happening internally in the people around us. And the next question, repeating the same mistakes over and over, has a very similar answer, in the sense that the only way you'll be able to change is making the decision. Like, you're already aware, you already understand that you're making the same mistake. You already know what it is, you've isolated it. You've isolated it so much, and it's become such a problem that you're actually able to open up and tell me. But it's obviously not the mistake that's the issue. It's the block in your mind that's preventing you from replacing that with something positive. They say to break a habit, it's not enough to just not do the habit. You have to replace it with something else and do it for at least 30 days. So the next time you catch yourself falling into that bad habit, because you know, immediately replace it with something that is more in alignment with that highest version of yourself. Because the alternative is to just continue to make the mistake and to eventually get so old and have that mistake be so ingrained into who you are as a human being that you look back on your life with regret and realize, you know, on your deathbed, that it was always just a choice that you continue to make. And to me, that's honestly what I live in fear of. I live in fear of God, and I live in fear of regret. And this is why I put so much importance and emphasis on self-reflection, whether it be in the form of journaling, meditation, being alone with no distractions, because without it, you'll just be like an NPC following the programming that you've been given by the world and your surroundings. Damn, this next question is crazy. It's four parts. So, I'm struggling with a friendship that my current state of emotional intelligence is having trouble with keeping healthy. I value the relationship to the utmost degree, but it's damaging me at the moment, physically, mentally, and spiritually. I want to sustain it, but I can't seem to grow myself fast enough to maintain. what can I do? God damn, dude. This is insane. How the fuck am I supposed to answer this shit? Like, without knowing you personally, without getting more context and more details about your life, I can't really give input on such a complex question. Right, I can give my ideas on vague, sort of overarching themes, right? Like self-awareness, making mistakes, getting out of bad habits. But this is incredibly deep. And in a way, I'm afraid of saying something that is not going to benefit you. So I guess the only thing I can resort to is just speaking on my own experience, as always. And I've definitely had friendships where I felt obligated to continue, even though I knew they weren't benefiting me spiritually, mentally, and physically. And I know that can come across as very egotistical. I know it may sound like I will only have a relationship if it benefits me, right? Very materialistic, very superficial. But at the end of the day, you look at nature and you realize every relationship that makes this world what it is symbiotic, in the sense of both parties give equally, and in their giving, they exponentially elevate each other. So if a relationship with another human being doesn't meet that criteria, and just like any other time, you take a step off the path that nature has paved for you or interwoven for you, maybe that's more natural, you'll suffer the consequences. When it comes to food, as soon as you start eating food that was not created by Mother Earth, you suffer the physical and honestly mental and spiritual consequences. So sometimes you do just have to make a rash decision for your best interests. Because at the end of the day, if you look at your life from the bigger picture, which is important and necessary to do sometimes, play out both timelines. What does your life look like continuing this relationship? And what does your life look like making the difficult and uncomfortable decision to maybe distance and separate yourself from this person? I can't answer this for you. This, again, will just require self-reflection and time alone. Again, ideally in nature, because that's when your mind is able to be most clear. So go for a walk in the forest, deeply contemplate and meditate on the words I've said and your own situation and what you know in your heart and your soul is the right decision. It's funny because I talk about how intense these questions are, but I love it. I really do. I'm so grateful that you guys are able to ask such incredible questions that really have me thinking. I've been doing social media and creating content for 6 years, and my number one focus, I've never sold anything. I've never really made money off of it. I've always just wanted to use this as a tool to connect with like-minded people, because how is that not the obvious answer to this? Right? We have a blade that can either cut us or be used to forge our path forward. And that blade is not only the phone, but social media. And a lot of people will automatically be like, oh, how much money can I make off of following? How much money can I make off social media? How can I use this to further my material success? But again, what's the pattern that we see all throughout the world of people who have the material success that other people desire, who have achieved that status that they've set out to achieve? It's that they lack that intimate human connection. They lack that community and that circle around them of like-minded individuals. They lack that family unit. And they'll ultimately realize that the fulfillment that they were seeking by way of these material gains was only ever a taste of what could be experienced through the heart and through the soul. I urge you to deeply contemplate that. I'm not saying don't make money. I feel like the more money you make, if you're a good person and you made it with good intention, the more good you can do in the world. And that's always been my goal. I always wanted to use money as a means to continue to bring people together and to essentially bring people closer to God. Because by bringing people closer together, your humanity becomes unlocked, right? The more you delve into this online digital world, the less empathy you have for other people. Not even in the sense that this directly makes you less caring for other people, but in the sense that this fulfills your needs and desires of connection, with heavy quotations, that talking and building relationships with people in real life would also give. The difference is one's an illusion and one's real. But I digress. Ultimately, that is the theme of every single episode. It just manifests differently. Ooh, I love this next question. How many times did you have to restart the process for it to work and for you to be able to improve? The answer to that is as many times as was necessary. Like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, I've endeavored into so many different areas of life. I've tried so many different things, and I've only landed on what I'm doing now because of that. So in the moment, yes, it may have seemed like I was restarting the process. But in reality, in retrospect, I see now how I was only taking many steps towards my ultimate goal, towards my purpose, towards the highest version of myself. But it required faith, right? Because as human beings, our vision and our foresight is limited by what's happening in the present moment, by the information and knowledge we have right now. You don't know who you're gonna be or the things you're going to think or the things you're going to believe 5 years from now. But you have to have faith that if you continue making decisions in alignment with what you feel is right, and we've already established, you only know that through introspection and meditation, by tapping into that inner voice, by tapping into your intuition and learning to trust it more. Because no matter what area of life you end up in, it will have always been in alignment with who you truly are. The next question is, I do exercise and try my best to eat good, but I want to quit alcohol and it's hard. Well, of course it is, right? Like, if it was easy, people wouldn't be addicted to it. I think the most important thing is to ask yourself, why am I addicted, right? The question why will always unlock the answer. Then it's up to your level of humility, your ego, to really take action on the conclusion that you've come to. What is it fulfilling in your life that you're not getting from another place? Now, I'm just going to guess. It most likely allows you to truly be yourself, or at least feel as though you're being yourself, with the emotional freedom and charisma that you wish you had in your sober state. And I would even say quitting it is not necessarily the best option. I would say replacing it with a more purpose-driven activity, with a more holistically fulfilling endeavor is the correct way to go about it. But if you do drink, I mean, if you're health conscious, you wouldn't touch alcohol because you understand the damage it does to your gut, does to your brain. It's quite literally poison. The way we've been conditioned to associate alcohol with fun is one of the most incredible psyops that has taken place. Because essentially what's happening is they've reduced our ability to feel fulfilled without these external things to the point where we then need them and rely on them and then become addicted to them, further entangling us into the cycles of this world. I would also say just reduce the amount of situations that you're in where consuming alcohol is an option. If you have friends whose personality is going out on the weekends and drinking, honestly, distance yourself from them. If and only if your values are truly the opposite of what they uphold, right? If your values truly are to be a healthy individual, free from external crutches. The negative health effects of alcohol are pretty incredible though. Like, there's nothing that you can do that'll set you back further than drinking alcohol, especially beer. Beer because of the estrogen and the glyphosate in the wheat, red wine because of the sugar and the alcohol combination. And nothing feels better than being content with your sober state of being, because it's only then can you unlock the spiritual levels that exist. I mean, we can talk about that too, because when you're under the influence of spirits, right, which is another word for alcohol, and take what you will from this, but the word alcohol is said to come from the Arabic word alkohol, which translates to body eating spirit. And if you think about that literally, it's pretty accurate. If the liquid itself represents a spirit, once it enters your body, it does destroy it. But then you can take that one step further. And it's very evident when you go in places where everyone's under the influence. Everyone looks as though they're possessed, right? Everyone looks as though their soul is being suffocated and being dampened by something. Something that isn't human. Something that is most definitely not in alignment with these individuals' highest selves. I would say if you truly want to live a life where you're able to tap in and out of the spiritual aspects of this human experience, quitting alcohol is the best thing and the first thing that you should be doing. Do you have any thoughts on alcohol? Just be Christian. That's hilarious. Be Christian. I mean, there's a verse in the Bible, Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I think that embodies the essence of what I'm trying to say here. It's not so much a religious thing, it's a human thing. There's a reason why AA is always Christian or almost always Christian based, right? Because it's having faith in a higher power and rooting yourself in something greater than you that can give you the strength and the faith to break out of the habits that have maybe in your eyes kept you sane for so long. That's why it's so difficult to expect someone to just cold turkey quit an addiction. You need to replace it with something greater, something more powerful. And what's more powerful, what's greater than God? It's humbling yourself, right? Yeah, asking God for a miracle. It's sad sometimes when I see people get tripped up on religion because of the human aspects of it. For example, Christianity and all of the implications throughout history that it has posed on society. You know, it's been used as a method of control. There are so many aspects of it that have potentially been altered or changed to fit the narrative of these people in power. But the essence of it is beautiful, right? Christianity is a beautiful religion. Every religion is incredibly beautiful when practiced at its core, when it's practiced in its essence. It's the human being, it's man that has tarnished the beauty of God, right? And I think that pattern's repeated many, many times in many different areas of life. And it's just a shame to see so many people turning away from ultimately that which is most important, right? There's nothing more important than saving your soul because of the actions of man. And for some reason, I find people have a really difficult time separating the two. I got into a conversation the other day with my friends about this exact topic, and I realized there's a certain point where there's nothing I can say that will make him believe something he hasn't experienced for himself. And sometimes it does take hitting an extreme low, having nothing else to lose, to fully surrender yourself to that which you've known you should have always been surrendering and living in accordance with since the beginning. This is why in many ways the hardships in life are blessings, because they bring you closer to God. And even now, I'm sure some of you are turning this off because the word God triggers some emotion in you. But if you truly were listening to the words I've been saying the entire time, and you've been listening to the podcast even in the past couple episodes, or following me on Instagram and engaging with the little rants that I have and the moments of self-reflection that I share, no word should have any power over you. If a word has power over you and triggers an emotional response where you retreat into your ego and use it as a shield, then you have a lot of work to do on yourself, because that's another area of life. That's another thing that has power over you. That's another weapon that can be wielded against you.
If you got to ask yourself, like, how do I know if I need God? Well, if the word God scares you, then you need God.
I like that. That was worth a little extra editing that I had to do to include that. I mean, you see it so many times. There's so many examples of people who run from God deeper into the world. And at the end of the day, at the end of their life, the thing they eventually circle back to is that. Yeah, that should prove to you, because it's proven to me and proven to many others, that there is nothing more important. There's no better way to spend your life than to live in accordance with God. In my eyes, I see that as selfless service, as to give with no expectation, right? Because love is the God frequency. You also can't manufacture that. You can't force that. You can't fake that. Oh, wait. Okay. We only have a few more questions left. Okay. I'll just answer them in this one. Never mind. Some rapid fire ones here. What are your thoughts on the road run of around 5 to 10 kilometers twice a week? It's great for your cardiovascular health, great for your mental health. And, you know, ultimately running is a spiritual experience that unfortunately not everyone gets to live. So I say that's a great thing. I would say continue to increase that. Like, as 5 and 10 kilometers becomes easy, continue to push your boundaries, continue to push your limits, and apply that same philosophy in other areas of your life. How do I handle all the pressure and challenges that life keeps throwing at me? Well, one thing that I do is I look at my past and appreciate the things that I've overcome, the things that I've done, and use that as inspiration and motivation to have faith and trust that whatever is representing itself to me in life right now, if I was capable of dealing with it before, I'm capable of dealing with it again, even if it manifests itself differently. Because you might be like, oh, but it's a different problem. It seems a lot bigger than what I was facing before. But the version of you in the past didn't know how big of an obstacle you'd be faced with in the future. The obstacle that you were faced with in the past is the biggest you've experienced, and the same thing's happening again now. The difference is you've leveled up, you've evolved as a human being, and now you're capable of dealing with it. So you just have to have faith in yourself and continue to innovate creatively. This is the most important thing. When you're faced with a problem, what is the best way to creatively approach and attack it? I often say, like, live life as a meditation. I've discussed it many times on the podcast. I've elaborated on what that means. But if you're new here and you don't know, it essentially means, in the same way when you sit down in silence and you close your eyes and you begin to meditate and focus on the darkness ahead, all of these thoughts all of a sudden circulate your mind and prevent you from fully focusing on the darkness ahead. Same thing with life. As you move through life, even with your eyes open, treat it as a meditation. And every obstacle, any external thing that evokes emotion out of you, it's just a thought. Let it pass. Observe and let go. And the more you can practice this, not only the better you'll get at meditation, but the better you'll get at anything and everything you do in life. It's a cheat code. It's a cheat code. I want to create content online. I'm a photographer, but I also don't want to always be on these platforms like Insta. I think that's a question. I was trying to paraphrase. Maybe English isn't your first language, which is all good. I still really appreciate the fact that you asked the question. I would say it's difficult when you create content, because ultimately you're going to be faced and challenged. You know, one, your mental health when it comes to checking likes and engagement. You get that dopamine. Like, how attached are you going to be to that? And the second thing is, how easily distracted are you going to be? So when you go on to post, when you go on to engage with the audience that you're creating, are you going to go over to the Reels tab and start swiping? An hour passes by and you realize, oh, I just came on here to post. How did I end up an hour down scrolling through Reels? Take self-awareness, right? You have to understand, do I have strategies in place to prevent this from happening? Am I that type of person that has that level of discipline where I can truly just use Instagram as a tool? Because unfortunately, if you do want to create content and you want to share your photography, Instagram is probably the best place to do that. Although if you can find a creative way to turn that into video, TikTok as well. And then YouTube videos, if you want to create longer form content, maybe making tutorials or even diving into your experience as a photographer, maybe sharing your journey, etc. Okay, the next question. I feel that changing your habits in life can be lonely because you start to lose connection with the people around you. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially what the question is asking. And that's true. I mean, that's just what's going to happen, right? Like, you have to have faith in the process and become the energy that you wish to attract. So if you're unhappy with your circle of friends, or you feel like you're losing friends as you continue to work on yourself, understand that this is natural, right? It's like when you become healthier, the parasites in your body will eventually start to die off because they no longer have the nutrition that they once were given through your consumption of poor quality food. So they leave and they die. Same thing happens with people in your life. As you become a better person and you no longer have time for maybe the poor habits that they indulge in that maybe you once did as well, they'll eventually fall off. Hopefully they don't die. Hopefully they also see you leading by example and start to continue taking steps towards their highest version of themselves. But it absolutely is lonely. And then this is another beautiful thing about self-improvement, which I believe should just be a default state of being a human being, but we'll isolate it just for sake of this question. Is that you start to cherish those moments of solitude because you realize it's not that you're lonely. It's that you haven't actually learned to enjoy your own company. There's nothing I honestly enjoy more than spending time alone, right? Other than having really good conversation with other people, having internal dialogue with myself and getting to understand how my mind works, all the things that I've subconsciously let slip over the years that I don't even realize I do, is a beautiful thing. And that's where I get most of my ideas. Honestly, this is where I flush out and dive deeper into the ideas that I have. So I feel like being lonely is a blessing if you have that level of self-awareness to where you understand it's not so much about being lonely, but cherishing your solitude. Oh, actually, one more thing I'll add to this is that the more comfortable you are with being alone, the less needy you become when you're around other people because you no longer need other people for your own fulfillment and happiness. And then your connection and your ability to communicate and your relationships with other people actually become so much better. It's counterintuitive. But the more you love yourself and the more secure you are in your own aura, your own energy, your own thoughts, your own mind, the deeper you can delve into the mind and the energy and the aura and the thoughts of other people. Because you've already had practice exploring your own. You already fully understand who you are. And actually, this ties into confidence. If you want to be a more confident person, this is how it starts. And I've already talked about this, but it's worth repeating. Because in a social situation, the ones who are insecure, the ones who are looking for the approval of others, that's an external factor that's not in your control. If you walk into a social situation and you know and you're very confident in who you are and what you're doing, what your purpose is in life, even if it's as simple or as distilled as just giving to others with no expectation, as just listening and being kind to the people around you, even if that is what you feel your purpose is, which I believe it should be an element to everyone's, that's enough to walk into any room and to have your aura be the one that people gravitate towards. And this all starts with just being alone. And it's not enough to just be alone without other people. I'm also talking about being alone without this, right? Being alone without other people virtually. That's actually all the questions. I'm pretty proud of myself that I got through them. Thank you so much again for asking. And I really do hope you enjoy these podcasts. Every single Monday, I'm committing myself, holding myself accountable to uploading a brand new episode. In between, I'll have clips from previous episodes, parts that I think are worth re-uploading because maybe you're new and haven't seen that episode, or maybe you aren't new but have forgotten the topic that we brought up. I have a lot of adventures planned for this. You know, actually, it's a week from now I leave. So make sure that you're subscribed to my YouTube channel at DiegoTGL or Pursuits of Ascension. My podcasts are also uploaded over there. And we begin a new journey, and I'm taking on more risk than I've ever taken on in my life, even though I thought that wasn't possible 2 years ago. Again, I've evolved since. So the obstacle I faced then, I didn't think that I would be faced with a greater one when I went to Dubai and played professional football with no plan. I just sent it. I just took all the money I had and had a sliver of an opportunity that I grabbed onto and made the most of. That will also be shared on YouTube, by the way. I have the whole thing documented. I just haven't uploaded it. But I think now is the perfect time, right before I begin documenting this next phase of my life. So with that all being said, thank you once again for listening. Take steps, towards living in accordance with your highest self, towards living in accordance with God. And remember, selfless service equals fulfillment. There's nothing else you can do that will fulfill you as deeply and holistically as giving to others with no expectation. To me, this is the purpose of life. Everything else is extra. Not that it reduces the importance of other things, but just this is the core fundamental that you should be focused on and that everything else should revolve around. I'll catch you next week. We ascend as one.